Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jumping in an Elevator, the podcast where I full stop. I hope you're all doing fantastic. A special shout out today goes to one of my top tier patrons, Chainsaw, the pseudonym of all pseudonyms. Is that what a pseudonym is? I don't even know. Anyway, the word sounds cool. Chainsaw, my wish for you today is that you are primed and ready for the aespa comeback. And like, if you're not a K-pop stan, that might be a loaded sentence. That might be like a lot of information coming at you at once. And I get that. But they're coming back with a vengeance. And we'll be talking about that soon. But let me just also alter that and say, I hope you're receptive to K-pop. You know, some people are just not receptive to K-pop. And I think that is just such an issue. Why aren't we talking about that? What are Greta Thunberg's thoughts on that? Why hasn't the UN spoken about this? It's weird. Anyway, how are we all? Personally, I just witnessed a cyclone of sorts outside my window, and I had a pot plant outside, my one pot plant, and she was watering. And because I do this thing that my plant friend told me to do every 10 days, like take the plant out on the balcony and just like drench Miss Sis so that like the water drips out down the bottom and you can actually see it run out and like let it soak for a little bit and then bring it back inside. And I was doing that. I went out. I came back. Sis was on her side. She was flat on the balcony. And I thought, you don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. We do not deserve this. And out of nowhere, it just started fucking cycloning outside. And there was hail. So that's fun. Anyway, today we're going to have a lot of fun. Because we're talking about a main pop girl. And whenever I talk about main pop girls, I come alive. We're going to be talking about Adele's anticipated next album 30. We're also going to talk about the aespa comeback, and we're also going to talk about Squid Game and potentially anything else that I come up with in the meantime. Also, a couple of things to get across before we start talking about Adele. I was looking at my podcast stats and I just wanted to say thank you, because if I kind of like add up all the platforms that people are listening and watching to this podcast on, it does 180,000 streams a month on a podcast, which is huge. And I didn't like compute that that was happening, because when I look at the podcast stats, I just look at the streams on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and that kind of thing. Like, it doesn't click to me that YouTube streams count as listening to the podcast. So thank you for that. But I also have a theory. Okay, it's going to sound insane, but let's just roll with it anyway. I have a theory that podcast charts are not that serious, and I don't think it's that difficult to bump up the charts, right? If you think about music streams, the difference between your single being number 200 or number 100 on Spotify charts is a big deal, and there's a lot of streams there. I don't think it's the same for podcasts. I think there's a few categories. It's kind of like you're an A-list podcast, then there's like B-list, C-list, and then there's like a whole bunch, and then like the smaller podcasts. I don't think there's that much difference between all the middle ones, which is where I think my podcast sits. So if you would like to participate in the experiment that I'm running, if you're watching this on YouTube, consider, you don't have to do this, right? I'm just doing it to see what happens. Consider listening to it on Spotify at the same time that you're watching it on YouTube, or just like put it on and mute it or whatever. I want to see if that changes where the podcast sits. Honestly, I do not care about charts because it has no impact on me. I've been burned by the charts before. I will talk about that at some point, but now is not the time. Am I in the middle of a beef? Maybe. Are those two things related? Maybe. My eras are crossing over and it's so chaotic, right? I'm having my crime acting era on TikTok. I'm having my influencer beef era. I'm having my mixtape era. I'm having my red mullet era. My K-pop era. It's just all happening, right? People are always like, what do you do all day? I'm feuding on the internet. That's what I'm doing. Okay? So if you'd like to participate in this experiment that I'm running, feel free to listen to the podcast on Spotify while you're watching it. Or not. I don't care. Great. Also, another thing that I wanted to say is I was reading the comments on my recent couple of videos on the main channel, You people are so fucking funny. Like, I was reading the comments on the Chipmunks video that I did, which I thought I was being ridiculous in the video, but then I was reading the comments and they're so ridiculous and they're so funny. I'm so glad that I have the audience that I have because you're all so smart. Like, the humor's so smart and it's so funny. So I guess, yeah, thank you for being funny. Slay. Also, before I forget, I added some new stuff to the wall. You can't even see it because it's behind the microphone. But I added a picture of Iggy Azalea, Rina Sawayama, Kim Petras, Shy Girl, some Aespa. That pronunciation needs work. We will talk about that in a second. There's a story behind that. And also Billie Eilish Vanity Fair. But you'll probably see that on the main channel more. All right, let's start talking about Adele. So, if you're not aware what's happening, in the last few days, people started seeing the number 30 on billboards and projected onto buildings using, like, projectors. Imagine that, projecting using a projector. And, you know, I'm a sucker for an album rollout. When I see a hint of an album rollout, you know, I come alive. I was feeling the lockdown depression, and then I see 30 by Adele on a building, and I think, maybe the slay is being slain. And if this is truly Adele, I'm girl-bossed, I'm gate-kept, I'm gas-lit, because she's gone international. These things are all over the place. So I'm going to show you some of the ones that have appeared on Twitter. There's an Adele Daily account that I found, and they're posting where the billboards and projections are appearing. Also, a key point, if you're listening to this and you can't see what I'm talking about, the 30 that's appearing on these billboards is like a thin gold font on a royal blue background. And it is very Adele vibes. Wait, I just realized I need to change my screen so you can see what I'm talking about. Now, hold on. Yes, so the 30 is like a gold, thin gold font on a royal blue background. It definitely gives Adele vibes. If this is not Adele, that is the clown event of the century, because it just adds up that it would be Adele. I'm just assuming it's Adele. In no situation is this not Adele to me. So here's some examples of where it's appearing. Tokyo, Japan on a billboard. Toronto, Ontario on, what is that called? A poster on a wall? What else have we got here? On an old building, slay. In Madrid, slay. Manchester, slay. Here we go. A nice map, a country map, and it says, was 30 seen in your country? And it shows where all the countries the 30 has appeared. So we got like Canada, United States, Brazil, Australia, China, Russia, Philippines, Poland. Something really funny happened on Instagram the other day. Let me talk about this quickly. So I posted about how I was trying to do ghost nails, and ghost nails involved a little white ghost with black eyes and mouth. And I posted that I tried to do ghost nails, but the white polish is garbage. And I got about 20 replies from people being like, as a white Polish person, I'm offended. Because look what I was saying, the white Polish are garbage. That was so funny. I ended up getting rid of those nails because I didn't like them. And then I tried to do them again. I tried to do a part two of my Mugler nails that I did a few months ago, and they were not the slay. They look like butthole nails again. But this time I tried to do a red outline. So it looked like butthole nails with a red outline. Fighting for my life. I ended up erasing them, and then I gave up and went to bed. Slay. What other countries have we got here? Stockholm. Beijing. I'm kind of like half thinking maybe I should go on Adele Billboard World Tour, where I just go look at all the billboards and take photos in front of them. That'd be kind of the slay of the century. Empire State Building. Let's have a look at these. Great. Can't even see it. That's a pretty big get though. And that's demanding attention. San Francisco, Rio, Mexico. Apparently there was one at St. Kilda Beach in Melbourne. I didn't personally see it. Is that in my 15Ks? I don't even know. But I would like to see one of these in person. So Streets are saying that Adele is responsible for these 30 banners. We don't actually have confirmation. She hasn't publicly come out and said, yes, these are my banners, slay. But Adele Daily tweeted that the 30 projections around the world are owned by Adele's label Sony Music as a strategy announcement for her new album, and their proof of this is a tweet from someone saying, spoke to the gent running the projector who said he was contracted by Sony to run it and didn't know what it was for. No way this isn't for Adele's next album. And there's also another tweet saying, Sony Music is literally in the ADAM tower, which I'm guessing had one of the projections. So it really has to be Adele. Now, Adele's last album came out in 2015. Let's check that. Yeah. Adele released her third studio album, 25, in 2015. It became the year's best-selling album and broke first-week sales records in the UK and the US. 25 was her second album to be certified Diamond in the US and earned her 5 Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year, Slay of the Year, 4 Brit Awards, including British Album of the Year, British Slay of the Year, and the lead single Hello became the first song in the US to sell over 1 million digital copies within a week of its release. Hello? Sorry? What? Became the first song in the US to sell over 1 million digital copies within a week of its release. What was that? James, that's huge. Adele must be so rich. Good for her. Good for her, I say. So I was doing some research on the album 25, and apparently it was made to represent her state of mind when she was 25. I'm 25 now. We are not the same. And I was like singing about life and love, and she's just like excelling. Meanwhile, I'm making YouTube videos about Alvin and the Chipmunks. But would I do it again? Absolutely. Someone needed to speak about the Chussies out. Chussies were out on the town. Jeanette was singing SOS, and she put her whole chuss on that. And she was so right for that cover. Everyone needs to see Chipwrecked. I think that's a significant thing that needs to happen in everyone's lives. If you haven't seen Chipwrecked, you need to remedy that stat. Great. What would I sing about on my album if I was 25? Well, I guess we'll find out when I release the Mike's tape. Yes, the rumors are true. I'm releasing a Mike's tape. 2015 was 6 years ago. Okay? She wasn't 25 in 2015. I think, yeah, she's born in 1988. So she was 25 in 2013. Hello, quick maths. And the next album, 30, would be based on her turning 30 in 2018. Now, the divorce, I want to say the divorce was 2021. Yeah, start of this year. So I'm interested to see if that makes its way into the album, because technically it shouldn't if it's about her turning 30. But maybe it will in a deluxe version. Maybe she'll release 33. Imagine if you release an album for each year. Oof, the content, hello. Now, in order to confirm that this was in fact Adele, I did some further research. You're going to scream and collapse when I tell you what I did. Maybe when I commit a crime and I'm talking to the judge. You're going to scream and collapse when you hear what I did. Also, we'll talk more about Adele in a second, like just her in general, but I want to talk about my investigation. So I went to the Adele website, which, by the way, is Krusty Boots. It looks like they just did it on Squarespace. And I know the shortcut. This, hello? Can you hear that alarm? I need to move out of this area. There's always noises. I've had enough. Someone's always breaking into something. Someone's always screaming. I was walking down the street today, and there was an old lady getting arrested next to an ambulance with a stretcher. And I was thinking, maybe she's getting on the stretcher. But then I thought, why is she in handcuffs and there's police holding her and she's like looking at the ambulance? And I'm thinking, did this old lady K-word someone? Like, what is going on? She looked like 90. I'm like, why is this 90-year-old in handcuffs? Get me out of here, I swear. Okay, so this website, content-wise, it hasn't been updated since 2017. You can see. The first thing that pops up is this Wembley Stadium, June 29, 2017, view photos. And it's a gallery of Adele's performance at Wembley Stadium. And it's got her statement talking about how she had to pull out of a couple of shows because she strained her voice. I vaguely remember that happening. Now, if Adele is going to be coming out with a new album, which is huge, right? She's a main pop girl. These things are planned to a T. You would think that there'd be some hints that the website would be updated soon. So I did some digging, and this is what I found. If you look at the response headers on the website, so if you go to the network tab, blah, 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 you can see that the last time the get request, sorry, I'm explaining this badly. You can see from each request when the thing that is being request was last updated. So the last time the website was updated was Monday, October 4th, 2:55 a.m. GMT. And it looks like it's been regularly updated. And I thought, is that just a case of them doing some kind of maintenance? But if the website hasn't been updated since 2017, you don't really need to be doing that much maintenance. And I thought, that's suspicious. That's weird. So then I went to the Wayback Machine. The Wayback Machine is where this site where you can look at a URL and you can look at versions of a website. And you can see, or I can explain to you if you're listening to this, that the website was updated October 2015, which coincides with her album 2015. Hello? Her album 25, not 2015. God, that's embarrassing. I'm gonna sort my shit out. And then it was regularly kind of crawled. So Wayback Machine crawls the website and it's regularly crawled from 2015 to 2020. And then the crawls increased significantly in 2020 and get even bigger around about now. A crawl doesn't mean that the website's being updated, right? But the activity is so much higher. So I very strongly believe, and all the evidence is suggesting, that Miss Girl is going to be coming back, I would say, in about a month or 2 months. I think the website, they've been doing minor checks and checking that they can update the website by changing small things maybe, so that when they actually launch 30 or start doing the promo for 30, it's going to be super clean and super well done. So that's my prediction. Oh, I loved like using my past life as a software engineer for this shit. Like just being like, it appears this was updated a few days ago. However, there's no content that's been updated. So what's that about? And if you check the thing at the bottom, it says updated 2021, Sony Music Entertainment. But all websites say that, right? They say the year, even if there's no content added. I tried to see if there's like anything hidden in the requests. For example, you can see there's images that are cached in here, like Adele 25 packshot.jpg. I was thinking maybe there could be something related to 30, but no. So but my prediction is the next couple of months. Now this theory is backed up by science, and the science that I'm referring to is Taylor Swift. So if we head over to BuzzFeed, the source of all news, fans think that Taylor Swift moving her Red album release up means Adele's 30 album is coming. Let's have a look at the receipts. Also, I love the way BuzzFeed articles are written, because it's like one sentence, an image, one sentence, an image. And they're so right for that. Like, I'm not in the mood to read several sentences. I just want to look at pictures of Adele wearing cool shit at a basketball game. It's true. So let's see. The rumors started to turn up a notch when a different artist, Taylor Swift, Taylor recently announced that her new version of Red would be out November 12th, a week earlier than expected, fueling speculation that Adele's new album would be out on November 19 to avoid competition. So Taylor tweeted, "Got some news I think you're going to like. My version of Red will be out a week earlier than scheduled, including the 4-disc vinyl on November 12th. Can't wait to celebrate the 13th with you and our new Old Autumn Heartbreak album." Now, why would Taylor do that? When I first saw this tweet from Taylor, I thought she was like maybe doing it somehow related to the 1989 release, because she recently released Wildest Dreams and she's been teasing that at the same time as teasing Red. So I thought that's what it was. But I like this theory more, because if she's pushing her release forward by 1 week and Adele releases on the 19th, that means Taylor can still get a number one on the 12th of November and Adele can get the number one on the 19th. That's suspicious. That's weird. I feel like I'm some kind of news reporter. The work that I'm doing is important. I need to let the people know. You might not know these kind of things. Here's a great tweet. OMG, it's true. Adele is about to drop her new album, 30. A sign has even appeared right by my house. And someone's taken a photo of a street sign. And it says 30, as in the speed limit. Here are some more places that the 30 has appeared. The Eiffel Tower. Cool Greek building. Cool castle building. The Colosseum. In Dubai as well. Dubai Island. Speaking of Europe, I'm in an absolutely chaotic state right now. Because, I mean, first of all, I am in a chaotic state because I'm in Victoria. But also, I'm famously from Perth. And I was under the impression that I'd be able to go back to Perth for Christmas. Now the streets are saying that that's not possible, that the border restrictions will still be in place. I think even if the border restrictions don't change, I'd be able to go to Perth, but I'd have to do hotel quarantine for 14 days and you have to pay something like, I think it's $150 a night for 14 days. So you can do the maths on that. I feel like that's around, it's like 2,100. 2,100 plus flights, which would be super expensive around Christmas time. It comes out to be about $3,000, right? So $3,000 and like staying in a hotel that I can't leave from for 14 days. Or I can go to Paris, and when I get back from Paris, I can quarantine at home for 7 days. As in Victoria for 7 days. The options being weighed up right now. The prospect that I could be in Paris at the end of this year, the prospect that I can get to Paris easier than I can get to Perth, what? That shit's funny. You have to laugh. It's funny. All right, let's talk some more about Adele, because she came to slay. I want to talk about her chart performance, because in my head, Adele's had number ones since the beginning. Every single song Adele has had is a number one. I don't believe an Adele song has ever been below number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100. My memory is skewed. The same memory that thinks Ava Max deserves to be a main pop girl. I fight for Ava Max every day and I'm still facing backlash for that. So, Rolling in the Deep, number one, 2011. Set Fire to the Rain, number one, 2012. Someone Like You, number one, 2011. Rumor Has It, oof. Peaked at number 16, though. This is the States. So I'm going to leave my sentence there, but you know what I'm inferring. Hello, number one in 2015. I think Hello might be the only number one single from 25. Send My Love to Your New Lover peaked at number 8 in 2016. I think, yeah, that's the case. Skyfall from the Skyfall soundtrack, I think that might actually be my favorite Adele song. Adele has a voice that is made for a Bond soundtrack, right? I also think that Lady Gaga would do a really good job with a Bond song. Like, I liked Billie Eilish's one. I think Lady Gaga would be really fantastic for one. She just has that voice. And she releases jazz albums. And I feel like if you have a scale that has jazz and then pop on either side, in the middle somewhere you have a Bond song. I feel like Adele can absolutely do jazz and she can do pop, and she did a great Bond song. Billy can do both and did the Bond song. You know, I said Bong song? Not the Bong song. So yeah, I think Lady Gaga will do a great job. Hello, Bond, people listening. Make sure you get on that. She's had so many songs on the chart in general. How many? 13 songs, 6 top 10 hits, and 4 number 1 hits. Let's have a look at the Billboard 200. Now remember, Hot 100 is singles, Billboard 200 is albums. 21 peaked at number 1 in 2011. 19 peaked at number 4 in 2012. Huh? 19 peaked at number 4 in 2012. We need to have a look at that. 25 peaked at number 1 in 2015. My guess before doing further research on this is that 19 peaked after 21 because people were having an Adele moment. Yeah, that checks out, because it looks like December 21 peaked at number 1 and then March 19 peaked at number 4. It's similar to how when Katy Perry releases a song, Teenage Dream turns up in the charts. Let's see if we can get further information on this. 19 has spent 218 weeks on the chart. Peak position of 4. This website is so bad. Oh, I pray you listeners of the podcast never have to go on the Billboard website. They have actually made it better, but it's just... Even here, right? I just clicked on Adele's name. I'm on Adele's page. And this ad has popped up, but they can't find the video in the cloud to show in the player. So it's just an error. Like, sis, that's embarrassing. Sorry, babes. I'm going to talk more about Adele's previous rollouts and albums. So let's see, is there anything on the Adele fandom wiki about this? Shout out to the people who update wikis. You are the true fighters. You are the true legends on this planet. Let's just read this little paragraph. 25 is the third studio album recorded by Adele. It was released on November 20, 2015 through XL Recordings. Never even heard of them before. Following the release and international success of Adele's second studio album, 21, in 2011, she had considered quitting the music industry, that's tea, and going out on a positive note. Me, when I nearly quit YouTube a few months ago, I was being so dramatic. I was like, I'm going to end on a positive note. I'm going to release 5 more videos and they're going to be feature length and then that's it. Who did I think I was? Fucking Steven Spielberg? No, I outsold Steven Spielberg. Sorry to the Spielbergites. However, Adele decided to take a hiatus instead and raise her son. To quote Nikki, "These bitches ain't my sons, but I still raised them." I feel like that's a quote from something. During her sabbatical, she suffered with writer's block and rescheduled the album's studio sessions, fearing she had lost her ability to write songs. In 2013, Adele had a breakthrough and the material that eventually became 25 manifested. She manifested the album. That's the power of manifestation. Personally, I don't like how similar the word manifestation and infestation. I don't like how similar those two are. There's something going on there. with writing and recording continuing through to 2015. According to the singer, the album's title is a reflection of her when she was 25 and the frame of mind she was in during that age. Titled as a reflection of her life and frame of mind at 25 years old, 25 is a make-up record. The album's lyrical content features themes of Adele's yearning for her old self, her nostalgia, and melancholia about the passage of time. We are not on the same level at all. Right? She must have like a 270 IQ. As well as themes of motherhood and regret. In contrast to Adele's previous work, the production of 25 incorporated the use of electronic elements and creative rhythmic patterns with elements of 1980s R&B and organs. Do you remember when the Hello music video dropped? Society collapsed. It's one of those where were you moments. Where were you when Adele released the Hello music video? I think I was... I definitely would have been at uni. But where was I physically? I think I probably was at uni as well, watching the music video. That single was for us. She did that for us. Let's go critical reception. I'm interested in that kind of stuff. 25 received generally positive reviews from critics. At Metacritic, which assigns a normalized rating out of 100 to reviews from mainstream publications, the album received an average score of 75 based on 34 reviews. I think this is one of those situations where if they re-reviewed it, it would be higher, similar to how Pop 2... Do you remember when Pop 2 came out and Pitchfork gave it an absolutely atrocious score and Charlie's fans, the Angels, were pissed, rightfully so. And then, or was this, no, I'm thinking Vroom Vroom EP. Yeah, I'm thinking Vroom Vroom EP. And then the person who originally rated the album, re-rated the album, like either last year in 2019, and she ended up giving it like a 9 or something. Because Charlie was ahead of her time, truly. Thinking about the time Charlie liked one of my comments on TikTok, yeah, that was the peak for me. The moral of the story is, what is this? I was about to say something, but then I just read a really tea-filled quote, so now I'm going to tell you all what I saw. Billboard praised Adele's vocal performance, writing that it's swathed in echo, sounding like she's wailing beneath the vault of the planet's most cavernous cathedral. They hit hard. The Los Angeles Times wrote, Adele's fans have been waiting for years for new Adele songs to explain their experiences to them, and they get a worthy batch on 25, an album so full of heavy-duty drama that it makes a more lighthearted peer, such as Katy Perry, seem like a Pez dispenser. Why would they say that shit? Why do you have to bring Katy Perry into this? Leave Katy Perry alone. Oh, I hate it when they do that. You don't even bring down Katy Perry to raise up Adele. You raise me up so I can slay. Yeah, moral of the story is I'm very excited for the album. It seems like she's promoing it by putting these billboards everywhere. I hope we get some new music November 19th. Well, that's when the album would come out, I'm assuming. Wait, yeah, because Taylor moved 19th to the 12th for Red... Taylor's version. Adele's album will be November 19. I don't think Adele will do a Beyonce. Doing a Beyonce is referring to having no promo singles and then suddenly dropping the album. I don't think... Did Beyonce have any promo singles? No. Not for that era, I don't think. I'm probably wrong. Feel free to correct me. But if the album's coming out November 19, there should be a single a couple of weeks before that. So I imagine there will be an Adele single in 3-ish weeks. And I will absolutely be talking about it. So slay. Okay. Next thing I wanted to talk about was the Aespa comeback. Now, I thought it was pronounced Aespa or Aespa. But then I famously use a Google Home speaker. And I was like, hey, bestie, play Next Level. And she was like... playing Next Level by Aespa. And I was like, oh, T, okay. I guess that's what we're doing now. Now, Aespa They are a, I think, fourth gen K-pop group from SM. SM has so much money behind them. And the rollout for this new era or this album for aespa really shows that. And I think this is an absolute masterclass in having a cool concept, executing it well, and really absolutely just going for it. I want to play you some of the samples that they've been teasing on Twitter. So they've been putting out these like photo sets and talking about what's going to be on the album, that kind of stuff. And all the outfits are really like futuristic, you know, lots of sharp edges, lots of neon colors, lots of references to snakes and machinery and, you know, hidden planets and that kind of stuff. And then they release these little video teasers. And I want to play you some of them. I used one of the soundtracks in my latest video at the start. Listen. So this is what they're putting out. So that's one of them. There's four of them. And they all kind of have this hyperpop vibe. This one's my favorite one. That shit makes me go feral. I go absolutely feral when I hear that, like, same kind of vibes as the song I Am the Strip Club by Iggy Azalea, right? That. I would explain it as Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious. These are keywords, okay? Fast and Furious. Trying to think of a singular other word. No, okay. Fast and Furious. Cyberpunk 77. 2077. Metal. It sounds like metal. Sounds like crunchy fast car metal. That's exactly how to describe how I feel when I listen to this teaser. Crunchy fast car metal. There's a couple more, but those were the two key ones that I wanted to play. They also put out a teaser for the music video, which comes out tomorrow. Actually, by the time you listen or watch this podcast episode, I think you might be a couple of hours from the release of the music video. This is very exciting times. Next thing I wanted to talk about, this is more like just conversational vibes. I wanted to talk about Squid Game. Because Squid Game has absolutely taken the world by storm. Speaking of Storm, such a great X-Men character. She doesn't get the hype she deserves. Storm and Miss Invisible. What's her name? From Fantastic Four. Why can't I remember her name? That's so embarrassing. That's sick and twisted. Why am I talking about Storm? Squid Game. Okay. Squid Game. A lot of people have been asking me what my thoughts were on Squid Game. Bitch, I ran that shit into the ground. I quickly mentioned it at the last podcast episode with Millie, but I don't think I'd finished. I'd watched a whole bunch, but I don't think I finished it. I think I finished it that afternoon of when I recorded the podcast. That sounds about right. I'm going to give this like a spoiler discussion. So if you haven't watched Squid Game, maybe turn this shit off. Turn that shit off. The concept, I'm a sucker for a battle royale, right? Any situation that involves a battle royale in any kind of media, in a game, in a movie, in a TV show, I will eat that shit up 100%. And I love the kind of feeling that you get from shows that have comic book vibes. Now, I know this isn't based on a comic book or anything like that, but that's the kind of vibe that I get, similar to Walking Dead, which is based on something, and Alice in Borderland, which is based on something. I think what I mean by that is Walking Dead, Alice in Borderland, those shows that have content that they pull from, you get the sense that the story is fleshed out and they know exactly what they're going to say in future episodes, in future seasons. And that's the vibe that I got from Squid Game. And I think that's why I liked it. There's like a completeness, like you knew it was going to reach a satisfying end while you were watching the start and midway through. It was very violent. I do think I'm quite desensitized to that now, but it was still gross. The actual games themselves, I would slay the first one. Let's not pretend. I survived the mannequin challenge. I stand still frequently. It's true. I'm so good at standing. I'm so good at being still. Like, I could be watching a movie, for example. I was watching Gone Girl the other day. Amy Dunn, Girl Boss, Gaslight, Gatekeep. Talk about that in a second. And I did not move. Like, I don't even know if my heart was beating. Like, I think I was just, you know, when snakes, do snakes even have a heartbeat? They're cold-blooded. Same. Basically what I'm saying is if you measured my heart rate, it probably wasn't moving during the time that I was watching Gone Girl because I was just stationary. I was practicing for the Squid Game round one. Round two, that was the one with the Dalgona thing, right? The honeycomb. I would have fucked that up, absolutely. If I got anything other than the triangle, it would be over for me. I'd be seeing stars because I would not progress further. The glass thing, that was fucked up. That was so wrong for that. My bestie, Sebyok, she made it to the end and then that glass blew up and ripped her stomach to shreds. And then she D-worded because of that. Well, I mean, also Sungwoo cut her throat, but, you know, water under a bridge. Yeah, they were so wrong for that. The tug of war shit, I would have lost that as well. Let's not talk about that. And then the last game, I rewound the rules of how to play the actual Squid Game so many times to try and work out how it works, but I just kind of gave up at the end. So if I was actually in the Squid Game and I had to do that shit in the last thing, I would not understand the rules, or I'd mess up the rules and they'd shoot me. It's sick and twisted, truly. And then when Mr. Sir had his Rihanna era, when Rihanna had her red hair, and he was about to get on the plane to visit his daughter, he was like, actually, I think I'm going to go after the Squid Gameites, the people who made the Squid Game. And I thought, sir, if you don't get on that plane and see your daughter, can't you just go see the daughter, chill with her for a bit, and then come back? Like, the Squid Game's still going to be there, you know? But I like that he went back because it means we get a season two. My predictions for season two. The police officer is alive. He got shot in the shoulder. He shot the brother evil, the evil brother, in the shoulder and he survived. He got shot in the shoulder and fell off the cliff into the water. We didn't see the body. It's not confirmed that he died. That's a key thing to remember with these shows. If you don't see the body, there's no confirmation that they died. I wish somehow they managed to get Sebyok to come back, but I don't think it's possible. Like, I can't think of any situation that they'd managed to get her back because she was in the trenches. Like, that glass shredded up her stomach, and then also Mr. Sir slit her throat, and then her body box thing was burned. So the only way that she would have escaped that is if they somehow managed to swap out the body in the box or switch the box before the box went into the burn town. So, I mean, I've got hope. Also, that actress went from 400,000 followers to 12 million on Instagram. And it would be kind of in their best interest to bring her back for season two in some capacity because she would have such a big name by the time season two comes out. She's kind of like the main celebrity that came out of that show, I would say. But yes, Squid Game overall, I'd give it like an 8 out of 10. A lot of fun. Also very sad, but very slay. Very girl boss. Let's talk about girl boss Amy Dunn from Gone Girl. I watched Gone Girl for the first time the other day, and the fact that I managed to go so many years without being spoiled, I'm such a trooper. Like, I'm so legend. So legend vibes. So slay vibes for that. When I was watching the first half an hour, I was like, he sucks. Like, he sucks. Boo-hoo. Krusty. And then Amy Dunn does the voiceover, and she's like, what does she say? Oh, my God, I'm going to mess this up, and it's not going to have as much gravity. What does she say? She says something like, life is so much better when you're dead, or something like that, because she... This is spoilers, obviously. She faked her death and blamed it on the husband, and it's so iconic. That, like, I would say 2 to 3 minutes where she reveals that she's still alive and how she executed the plan, and she does that cool girl monologue. Mm. Like, she's absolutely unhinged, and she's a villain, but she is iconic. Oh, such a good character. Like, she's an absolute menace, but her character was so good. And Rosamund, is that how you say her name? Rosamund Pike, she was fucking fantastic in that role. The ending of the movie, I wasn't 100% on it. My favourite part of the movie was the bit where she revealed she was still alive, and then her planning what she was going to do next, and then him dealing with the backlash of the things that she had planted on him, and him kind of falling into the narrative that she had written out, and all that stuff coming true. That was my favourite part of the movie. The last third of it, I wasn't eating it up. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, slay. But I wasn't like, whoa. I would say first third of the movie, 7 out of 10. Middle of the movie, 9.5 out of 10. Last third of the movie, 5.5 to 6 out of 10. So overall, that leaves us with like a 7.5 out of 10, which sounds about right. Also consistent with what Gen Pop thinks. But, you know, famously, Gen Pop have absolutely no fucking idea what they're talking about. Slay. All right. I think that brings me to the end of this podcast episode. I just looked at my screen and hashtag delete Facebook is trending. And that just triggered fight or flight response because I've been on Facebook Marketplace in the last few days trying to find a bike. I can't talk about it. It's too raw. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. I hope you're all doing fantastic, and I will talk to you all soon. Keep slaying, keep girl bossing. Allora, andiamo ragazzi. Ciao.